Hey, thanks everybody for tuning in again this Sunday on Nevada Backcountry. We've got a repeat special guest, Tim Burnett, solo hunter, hunting house. First time you were on, Tim, we talked a little bit about your background, the Solo Hunter Show. This episode, we wanted to dive into the archery shop a little more. Was just down there, dropped off my bow. I managed to break it on that bear hunt.
Again?
I'm the reason warranties exist.
Sure. Thanks for keeping us in business.
Yeah. I was chatting with Chandler and Christian down there. You guys are swamped right now. I wanted to go into some of the stuff you guys are seeing coming in the shop. Anything you can talk about as far as bow owners, bow shooters out there getting ready for the upcoming season?
Yeah, for sure. No, Chandler could probably, he could probably do this more justice, you know, because these guys are kind of right on the front lines, right? I kind of feel guilty to admit I've been kind of on vacation for the last week, right in the heart of our busy season, but they're going to get me back in July when they're gone for a week. So
yeah, well, it's also the beauty of being the owner.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. Right? Yeah. So I'll try to do my best.
What's your typical guy walks in, he's got an archery tag. What are they dealing with?
You know, what really amazes me a lot is the number of guys that come in that are first timers. They're like, hey, I've never shot a bow before, never bow hunted before, but I got a tag. You know, they drew an archery tag. Surprise. It's like, okay. So we see a lot of that. So really fresh new guys that may have some hunting experience, but no experience at all or very little experience with archery. So that's a little tougher, you know, longer process to get them set up with that. We see a lot of the seasoned hunters right now are changing strings, which is probably should be done now or should have been done a month or so ago.
Yeah.
You know, guys that are upgrading their equipment. There's just a ton of that. It's all across the board. Arrows. Okay. Christian's pretty much sits at that arrow saw almost all day, just slicing arrows. So,
and archers aren't much different than rifle hunters. I mean, you get a really coveted tag, like a sheep tag or a bull tag, and you're like, oh, if I buy the new sight or the, you know, whatever it might be, my chances are going to be so much better.
Well, then it gets in their heads, too. They got this awesome tag, and they just don't want anything to go wrong. They want everything to be perfect. They get nervous because they're not quite shooting the groups that they need to shoot. And sometimes it's just patting a guy on the back and saying, you're doing fine. Everything, your equipment is exactly where it needs to be. Let's shoot, just get you settled. Just go out and shoot. I mean, I'm kind of in that case. I mean, I own a bow shop and have for 2 years. I don't shoot nearly enough. I don't shoot as much as I should. And so I fall into kind of that same trap. I'll go out and shoot. And maybe my group is not quite where I want it to be. And I'm thinking, I need to change my sight tape, or maybe I need to go have Chandler go over my bow and see if maybe I missed something in my tuning process. 9 times out of 10, it's nothing. It's just I got to put in the reps. And that's where I think most guys are.
Yeah.
You know?
I fall into that category. Hopefully my wife's not listening, but it's my get out of jail free card. It's like, well, I got to tag. You know, I realized I need this stabilizer set up or whatever. Yeah. So that's my.
Well, Henry, you're more along the lines of like, oh, I need to get new cams.
Yeah.
I need new limbs because I somehow drove over my.
Is my riser supposed to look like that? Yeah.
There's supposed to be a crack in this.
Dude, Dave and I have talked before. I don't know what it is. I've been like this since I was a kid. Bicycles. I break stuff nonstop.
Yeah, so if anyone out there listening, if Henry don't says, loan me dude, stuff. Can I borrow your truck real quick? I got to tow this trailer.
I just always figured I'm the guy that uses this. You know what I mean? Like versus, and no knock against, I hunted whitetails in the Southeast for a long time when I was stationed down there. I enjoyed it, but I put a lot more wear and tear on my equipment now than I did when I was walking 20 yards to a tree stand climbing up it. So I just kind of figure I actually use my stuff. That's why it gets broken. Well, but it's probably me.
You know, every time it used to be that whenever you'd walk in through the doors, I was like, oh, he's going to sell me. He's coming in to sell me advertising again. What's the deal here? But it's no, now it's more it's like, okay, what did he break?
Yeah.
What does he need?
No. You guys have been awesome with me. Back to the new bow hunter thing. You guys just picked up PSE.
We did.
So now you got everything, basically.
We have every brand in stock. There's a couple brands that we don't stock, but we still have their accounts. So I don't think there's anything bow-wise or bowline-wise that we don't have access to or in stock in the building. I mean, right now, our inventory is a little bit low, but we've got over 100 bows in stock, mainly because of our closeout program. But
yeah, you know, which is awesome. I mean,
Yeah.
That program's fantastic. If somebody wants to get into a bow for a pretty reasonable price and a really good bow, you know, get down there and check it out and talk to Chandler or Christian or, you know, even give Tim a chance to.
That's unique. You know, not a lot of shops do that. Not a lot of shops want the old stuff. You know, they think, I just want to have the newest, latest, and greatest. Well, guess what? Dirty little secret, you know, margins are margin, right? And I don't care if I'm making a margin on a brand new bow or last year's model or 2 years old model.
Yeah.
As long as I can offer a fully warranted, 100% confident setup to these guys. And so we build these hunt-ready packages that when these new shooters come in and maybe, you know, everybody kind of has a value of what something's worth to them. Whether it's any sport or any activity, they have this perceived notion of in their head of this is worth X to me, X amount of time, X amount of dollars. And so sometimes that fully outfitted $1,200 out the door, everything, lock, stock, and barrel is right the sweet spot right where people need to be, that are just getting into it. Sometimes it's $600 or $700. Sometimes there's no cap. You know, we have guys that'll fly over from Hawaii or come in from Southern California, or the last farthest one that was in the shop the other day, they were in town from Illinois and they just had followed us on social for a long time and really wanted to, you know, support the shop. So guess what? $3,000-$4,000 later, you got a customer in Illinois, you know. So
it's been
pretty fascinating to watch.
Yeah. Now, so when somebody does come into the shop, a new blood to the world of archery, mm-hmm. you know, has this deer tag and is like, I need something. Is there something you direct them towards?
I do. I immediately send them to Christian because I know it just.
something, but someone.
Yeah.
Well, Christian's fantastic.
The thing with Christian is he's not afraid to voice his mind, but. One of the things that's really outstanding about Christian Chandler both is they really, truly take it to heart that they believe that someone should put forth their due diligence before they're going to go do something. So when someone comes in with no experience and has a hunt 2 months away, you know, what are we? Well, we're about 2 months now.
Yeah,
it's like, dang it, they're not doing what they probably should do, but I'm going to do everything in my ability and power to give them the knowledge to be able to find success and do it. Because we don't want new archers to go out there and just get their butts handed to them.
No.
And or have equipment failure. Yeah. We want to make sure that we take the time to set them up, even as if we're super frustrated that they got the tag and, you know.
You guys did.
Someone with loads of points might not.
Well, and the beauty is, you know, after that sale and conversation, you want them to come back in with a picture like, oh, my God, look what I got one.
We saw a lot of that last year. I mean, there was guys that we had set up and got all dialed and everything that I was like, there's no chance in hell that guy's going to get close enough to a deer. I'm like, he trips over himself walking into the rain.
Falls
like,
down.
This guy, it ain't going to happen. You know, that's what I'm thinking in my head, which is that's kind of the jerk in me. But then the guy comes in with a photo of a really nice buck that he shot in California or whatever else. And it's like that sense of pride where it's like, heck yeah, that's stinking awesome.
You know? Are you guys going to bring back, I noticed going through some of the old social media, you guys had like client pictures on there or people had been in the shop.
Yep.
You guys going to bring that back this season?
Yeah. So that picture board that's on the front of the counter there, our plan was to do that on a piece of cardboard or a piece of,
a bragging
MDF
board
that we could then take off and then hang it in the range and then start a new one for this year. So
that'd be cool.
And then we like to share people's success on social. Obviously it's good for us for traffic and SEO and searchability and all that. But to really kind of give these guys a pat on the back, like, heck yeah, you did it. You know, you went out there and accomplished something that you might not have thought that you could have or, you know, that you deserved. We
That's
definitely
awesome.
Want
well,
to showcase
and,
people.
Mule deer with a bow in the West is not an easy feat by any stretch of the imagination. So for a guy to go from not bow hunting to getting a mule deer on his first, I mean, that's incredible. Yeah.
And some of these guys, you know, the experienced hunters, it's really cool when they come back with something that would win a big buck contest or, you know, he's awesome. I mean, we're hunters. We like to see big stuff. So it's really gratifying to see your customer base do that, you know, as long as I can do it too.
Thank you.
So no specific areas. Yeah. Did you draw this year?
I did draw a deer tag in Nevada this year.
Very cool.
It's been a couple of years since I had a tag, but I do a really nice deer tag for the archery. And so
Early season. Okay.
Yeah, August 10th. You know, they should give us that August 1st date back, Dave.
I know.
Work on that for us.
I know. Right? August 1st. But there's so many other animals that start August 1st for archery. Yeah. You got antelope. You got cow elk.
You know what I need?
You stick deer in there.
I need them not to have opening day on a Thursday or Friday. We need opening day to be on a Monday or Tuesday.
Everybody back in the office.
Everybody waits till the weekend. Yeah. We don't need the woods full on the opening weekend.
No. You know, back in the day, I think all seasons always started on a Saturday.
It was like the first Saturday or second Saturday.
First or second Saturday of the month. Just so many hunts got created and moved around that it was more of those things like, well,
no, it's
a number of days you get to hunt this.
It's the dual edge, right? You know, you're going to be out there in August in 100 plus degrees.
So brutal.
But at the same time, you want to get out there early because that's when the bucks are visible and that's when they're kind of still on their summer patterns and lazy.
So you're a opening morning kind of hunter?
It depends. If I have my eyeballs on something and I know that somebody else might come across him too, then I'm opening of opening day. I'm on the mountain a day or two before with my truck, you know, visible, my camp visible to just, I guess I'm kind of that guy where it's like, I stake my claim and.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, as much as you can on public land. Yeah.
I mean, if you see a nice animal, I do the same thing. I let people know that I'm in this area. I generally, if I'm not seeing anything that I'm completely bonkers over and I know, well, I'm seeing some nice deer, but there's a few, I'll generally go like the third week.
Yeah.
Let all of those folks that come out there and just
whack a buck
the place, like
let everybody whack something
and then come in later, relocate those animals, and then almost have the place to yourself.
I don't hunt weekends, you know, weekends are for my family, so I'll hunt Monday through Friday. And this tag is kind of special because it's close to home, and I haven't had this tag in several. The last time I had this tag, I killed a really nice buck and found some really great bucks for a buddy of mine that had the tag, so it's nice.
Is your best buck still the one in Idaho?
Hard-horned.
Yeah, that hard-horned one.
Yep. You know, I say best bucks, but, you know, he wasn't my favorite. He's cool, but my favorite is probably the early season, the velvet buck that I've got hanging there in the shop. I mean, I'm not a big buck slayer.
Nope.
Like, I've killed some good deer, and I've killed some good elk. I like the fact that if I were to care or have a bragging board, like, I've killed a lot of different species with my bow. And to me, that's the fun part of it. Will I ever get my North American 29 or 28 or whatever it's
right, right. Right.
No, you know, probably not.
Yeah.
But I know guys that they're just elk guys. They just want to hunt elk two or three states a year, and that's it. Guys that are mule deer guys that will not hunt anything but mule deer. That's
we
cool,
all have
too.
Our niches.
But,
well, and sometimes, too, it's not the biggest, like you said, we're hunters. Everybody likes a big buck. But half the time, it's just the hunt itself that puts it on that pedestal.
I don't mount a lot of animals. You know, I only have just a handful of mounts. I've got a couple of sheep now and a mountain goat and stuff that I really want to get mounted. I just haven't done it. You know, I figured I'd put that money towards more hunts at this point in my life
then reinvest.
Make sure that they're all packaged nice and sweet in the freezer and,
right.
and done right. And then when the time comes, when I'm Dave's age, then I'll pull everything out and start getting them.
Shots fired.
When I'm 2 years away from retirement, I'll just start pulling out.
Oh, every time he brings that up, it kills me.
He was bragging about it earlier, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's closer to three.
Well, we're going to put you to work when you're done, just so you know.
Even the wife says, like, there's no way you could ever sit still for more than 10 minutes. I'm like, I'll be busy.
All of his time is going to be spent at the gym and on the mountain.
And the gym and on the mountain. That sounds absolutely like heaven.
Then generally, if I'm not home or if I'm not at work, that's where I want to be.
Exactly.
For the experienced shooters coming in, you guys sell gas bowstrings.
We do. We sell a lot of different bows, but gas is what we really try to lean guys towards just because our experience with that has been better than our experience with other manufacturers. There's a couple of smaller upstarts that we've started to trickle in here and there that I think make a great string. And a lot of it's not necessarily about who makes the best string or a great string. It's relationships with the company. It's turnaround. It's who can, you know, get it to us quickly and that. And I think we're one of the top 100 dealers for gas at this point now. And we're moving enough strings that when we place an order, that thing gets ripped out and sent to us. And we just know, just like we do with Hamsky or Spot Hog or Prime or any of these other brand-specific or product-specific, we know we're not going to have any issues with this product.
For people listening, What's the turnaround right now on strings?
Right now, you're looking at about 3 weeks.
Three weeks,
is not just order time, ship time for them to get us the string, but we're behind. You know, we've got two, three dozen bows hanging in the back. We've got a pile of strings waiting for customers to bring their bows back in to have it restrung. That's generally what takes us the most time because you've got to take all the old strings off. A lot of times that involves, you know, some cam removal. You got to put the new strings back on, make sure everything's all in time, retune that bow, and then get a hold of the customer, have them come in, retune it with them to their hand, and just make sure. So it's, you know, it's a 2-3-4 hour process by the time you're said and done for a new string. And we include that in the service. I mean, you buy the string, we're going to do all we can to make sure that that bow is put right back in a better state than when it walked in the door.
For people that have that August 1 antelope tag,
you better get your butts in the door quick.
Go now.
You know?
Go now.
We have some manufacturers, and we do it generally in that July time frame.
Okay.
Where it's like we know we can get a string in 3-4 days, 5 days, and if someone wants to, you know, pay a rush fee or whatever that it's going to take, it can jump ahead of the line and we can get that done. There's times when Chandler, you know, he'll pull a string off of a stock bow to get a guy out on his hunt, somebody that's cut their string, or a customer that's been really good to us, you know, gets in a bind. We'll do whatever we can. I mean, I've even loaned out my personal bow during a hunting season to make sure that
that's
a customer
awesome.
Has what
that's
they cool. need to go out and do their hunt.
Were they successful?
I don't remember in this case. I don't think so. I don't think so.
That solo hunter luck didn't
I don't have a
down.
Lot of solo hunter luck, you know. I go on more hunts than tags are filled, right?
Gotcha.
Well, and with strings, though, I mean, somebody wants a string a little bit quicker, they can't be picky about color or customizing. Because once you start customizing stuff, then custom colors and two or three different colors, then you're in trouble.
It's so hard to stock anything because Dave shoots, you know, what do you shoot?
Which one?
Which one, right?
My elite
Dave has
verdict.
An elite, you know, you have a PSE,
yep.
so-and-so, and not just an elite, but you got a verdict, right?
I got a verdict.
There's a brand new bow for every brand. There's usually 3 or 4 models for every brand every year. So you back that up to the average person keeps their bow for 9 years.
Yeah.
But bows will walk in that are 15 years old or beyond. You tack that up. There's hundreds and hundreds of string combinations that you have. So for us to stock strings, it's just not possible. So
no, you wouldn't be able
we'll
to
stock
them
some
all.
Of the popular ones. We'll stock some prime strings just because we warrant those. You know, some Matthews strings we'll stock because they're popular models. And then somebody wants a different color, you know. But
they want custom colors if it's their competition bow because they want to coordinate. And,
it comes down now as you just want a string. You know, get
here's
it
black.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I ordered a string when I was down there earlier because I figured since that cam's coming off anyway, might as well. And I had some serving stuff coming apart. So I was like, all right. They said be pretty dang quick through gas for me.
You know what? You're in the shop weekly.
Yeah.
So here's the reality of that. And this is a candid conversation because that's what we do. We tell the truth. Is if a customer is constantly shopping us back and forth, I went over at Shields or I was over here and this and that, and they're just not a loyal customer.
Right, right.
We're going to treat them right no matter what.
Yeah.
But somebody comes in like you or Dave that we see weekly or, you know, and you need something simple. You might need a $5 item, but you're there, you know, or you might need to order something or know what, but you're part of the community. You're part of the shop. We're going to treat you right. And then some, you know, because you're treating us right. And then some, and that's just the way it works. So we know which customers are loyal to us and we'll be more than loyal to them.
And which one do you have a customer score for people? Like
I
the
call
warranty
like
guys.
Well, I think were you in there earlier when I was talking about the Shields tax or the sportsman's tax?
No, I don't think so.
You know, I mean, here's the reality of it is you might get a deal at a big box because they want to do anything they can to hurt us because we came on the scene big and bad, right?
Yeah.
You might get a deal, but then guess what? We're going to charge you a fee to do the service on that thing. You buy it from us. There's no fee. There's no service. I mean, we'll take care of you for as long as you come back.
Yeah.
Because that's us. That's on us. You know, we understand. It used to make me irate when a customer that we worked with so long would walk in with a bow from somewhere else or something I was like, son of a gun. I mean, I've been known to say some 4-letter words when that happens.
Right.
But at the end of the day, It's like Dave over at Mark IV Strike. He and I had this conversation because he came into the shop as a customer. He's like, you know what? At the end of the day, they're here. You know,
yeah.
They might have made a decision to not be here on that one, but today they're here.
Right.
And today they're your customer, and you do whatever it takes to make sure that they're your customer tomorrow and beyond and beyond.
Yeah.
But you can't fault the guy for getting a deal. You just can't.
No.
I'm loyal to a fault. I mean, I get ticked when I have to change my oil somewhere else because they ran out of oil.
Yeah.
You know, I'm that guy.
Talk about accessories and stuff, because, you know, even if you're not in there getting your bow tuned up, getting strings, whatever, what do you guys stock for broadheads?
So broadheads, that's a unique one. We stock a lot of broadheads, but not everything. I mean, there's
wide,
so many out
deep.
There. You know, it's a very, the hunting industry's, hunting space, I hate to categorize it as an industry, you know, there's so much information out there and so many people saying this is the way it is or this is the way it is. But broadheads are one of those unique products that a lot of people are buying online because they can. And because there's so many different ones, it's somebody's theory behind a single bevel, you know, cut on contact, 160 grain, whatever else, that's driving that person's purchasing decision. When in reality, you could screw a $3 broadhead on the end of an arrow and kill just as much stuff as you could putting a $25 broadhead on there, because that's what a lot of these are coming to is 20, 25 bucks a pop, you know, or more, 30 bucks a pop in a lot of cases, you know,
cutthroat broadheads, iron will.
It's great. I feel like I could take the cheapest arrow off the wall, the cheapest broadhead off the wall and go out and kill just as many things as I kill, because it's not about the equipment as much as it is. There's things that'll make you more effective, you know, by all means, but it's not to me that there's anything wrong with an iron will or wrong with a day six or wrong with a cutthroat. They're a fantastic piece of equipment, but to me, a broadhead's disposable.
Yeah.
I'm never going to put a $30 broadhead through the chest cavity of an elk and then pull that thing out of the ground, sharpen the nicks and everything out of it, put it back on my arrow, and have 100% confidence that that sucker is going to spin straight and shoot straight.
Right.
It may. I've had cases where they would, you know, where I've shot. But to me, a broadhead is a disposable piece of equipment because of the trauma that goes through, whether you miss an animal or hit an animal, just in the due diligence of keeping that thing sharp.
You know, what do you shoot?
You know, I shoot a G5, you know, mostly a Striker V2 replaceable blade broadhead. It's a fixed blade broadhead, three blade. I like the M3s. To me, it's my favorite broadhead because it's super quiet in the air. It's a solid. G5 actually patented the process of MIM. They call it MIM. It's metal injection
molding.
Yeah, they did that with the original Montec. Well, the M3, the Montec 3, is a solid cavity, so there's no air holes. And that sucker just flies through the air. We've done tests where it just flies through the air, just dead silent. Spins great, super accurate. I'm just a lazy bum, and I don't keep them sharp. You know, the oxidation of steel in your quiver over a 2 or 3 month period of time, by the end of the season, if that arrow, that broadhead's in my quiver, it's dull by November.
Right.
Most people, I mean, they'll come into the shop in May or June with broadheads still in their quiver. And I'm like, you can change out your broadheads. Nope, these are good. But they're dull as crap just being in the quiver. They don't understand that, especially. It's different with the razor blade broadheads. They'll hold an edge for a really long time. But these high-end, super high-quality steel, same reason I don't use a super high-quality steel knife. I can't sharpen the damn thing. I don't have that kind of time. I don't have that equipment on the mountain to sharpen that knife.
Diamond plates
and
everything.
Well, you can cut through.
Yeah.
You can process six elk before you need this thing sharpened. I'll go through one elk, and that sucker's dull, you know, because I'm a hatchet. I got to get it done. Yeah. So there's that mentality. I like to replace some blades. My taxidermist hates me for it, but I really like those. They're efficient.
Yeah.
It's that whole trade-off between the romance of archery, you know, and having a solid steel, you know, cut on contact, really sexy looking
handmade, bespoke,
handmade, you know, hand spun Raptor, whatever it is. Like, there's a definite romance to that. But I know when I punch that arrow through that chest of that elk, it's done.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I'm not reusing. Like,
mine's more
of
a loyalty thing. I mean, I've been shooting Slick Tricks for years.
Great broadhead.
Yep, you
same,
and I
the
both.
Same
yeah.
four blade Slick Trick. Yep. I mean, like, I've taken 15, 20 animals with those things. They've built this confidence with me. So when I do shoot it, I don't worry about, like, what you were saying. Like, is this thing going to shoot right? Is this going to fly correctly? Is this going to – it's the loyalty thing.
That's right.
I mean, there's a gazillion out there. You're right. There's some really cool-looking ones. I'm like, oh, dude, that looks – that's a really super cool Star Wars-style broadhead right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, single bevel, cut on contact, yeah, punch yeah. through a buffalo
fancy,
bone. Well, guess
yeah,
what?
You're not hunting
buffalo. Hunting, yeah.
yeah, the fancy
didn't draw
words
a tag
they
in
use.
The data.
You know, they're like, "Oh, dude, this thing will blow through both sides of a cinder block."
I said $3 broadhead. I guess no broadheads are $3.
No.
They're more like $13. You know,
yeah.
What's a pack? $39 sometimes. $34 for a pack.
Sometimes
of three.
You can get them on sale for like $29.
About 10
bucks
yeah,
a 30
piece.
Bucks. Just say 10
but,
bucks a pop.
Yeah,
some still. Of those others, man. They're you're talking.
Iron Wills, I think, are
$30 a piece.
Yeah,
yeah,
$100 for a pack of three.
Yep. Yeah, I was just looking at some. Trying to remember the
name.
And
you know what?
And there's $89 for three.
I've been bow hunting for a long time. I'm what you might quote unquote say a professional hunter in the professional space of hunting. Whatever.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a good enough shooter to tell the difference between a $10 broadhead and a $30 broadhead. It's not going to affect my accuracy.
No.
One bit.
I like the Slick Tricks because I'm like you, you know, if it goes through an animal, it's toast. As long as those Slick Tricks, still the ferrule or whatever portion still spins straight,
yeah,
you can buy the replacement blade and you're good to go.
And now you're talking a $3 broadhead.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, before that, I shot the Bear Razorbacks.
Yeah.
Which they don't make them anymore, but that, what a great broadhead.
Well,
that
we'll show guys how to tune their arrows, you know, how to, whether it's knock tuning or indexing or spinning, just basically spinning an arrow. I mean, there's certain brands out there when they walk in with a quiver full of those arrows and say, my bow just isn't shooting, it's not accurate. First thing we'll do is put that arrow on the spinner and just watch it wobble, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a lot to the archery process. When I spoke earlier about the romance of archery, there really is, you know, I mean, that's what enthralled me with archery as a kid was the fact, not only just the hunting videos that I watched, but the taking a turkey feather and turning it into a vane, you know, building a jig and actually building your own wooden arrows, fletching your arrows, cutting your arrows, tuning your bow, all that whole process. It is super awesome. I feel like anybody that's serious about their sport needs to know how to do those things.
Yeah.
Most people don't because maybe they're not interested in that. But
right.
There's that part of archery, and then there's the, you know, am I capable of going out and making something dead with it? You know?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Let's talk arrows. Mm-hmm. What do you guys stock? What do you shoot?
We try to keep everything in stock. Right now, man, they're flying, you know. We've got arrows that, again, kind of like the gas strings that we have 100% confidence in, that we know, you know, when it says 1,000 straightness, 11 or 12 out of the 12 are going to be 1,000 straightness, you know,
right.
And they're going to do what they need to do. We have that level of confidence with those. We're kind of all across the board. We're not a brand specific shop, meaning Christian shoots one brand of bow, Chandler shoots a brand of bow, I shoot a different brand of bow. You know, our two shop shooters, Craig and Mike, they both shoot two different brands of bows. Same with arrows, you know. I think Christian and Chandler, they may be shooting the same arrow now. There's the rep, you know, they have a great relationship with that rep. And I've noticed that with all of us, really, is the brands and the reps that are on top of everything for us, those are who we want to work with. Because we know that if there are any issues for our customers, that it's going to be taken care of immediately. And so we have some brands specifically that we work with the majority of the time that we want to put customers into if, you know, one, it's they're financially able, or two, if they can build that confidence in that product too.
Okay, what do you shoot?
Arrow-wise?
Yeah.
So I have some Black Eagle. I have some Easton. I have some Day 6. So I have kind of a bunch that I'm messing with. I've hunted with Day 6 arrows, you know, for the last several years. I've got a good relationship with the owner there. Lately, I've wanted to try something different, so I shot some Black Eagle Spartans, which is not a very popular arrow.
No.
Not a lot of people shoot those. Super happy with that arrow. But ultimately, I settled on the Easton Axis long range match grade. You know, you're talking a $200.
Those
are awesome. Those are nice.
I can, you know, honestly, it's because I can. The price is right. Right. And I feel like I've built an arrow that is super accurate. It's the right weight where I want it to be. It's got the right amount of weight in the right places, which I like, you know, a little bit of weight up front. And I'm just accurate with it. I really like that arrow.
And that's what matters. Yeah.
It's a confidence.
But you can get anything though. Like if I walked in and said, hey, I need some ACE 360 340s.
Yep.
You'd be like, all right, they'll be in.
Yep. On the hunting side, if you took a look at the top five selling arrows nationwide, we stock them. They're there.
Like they're there.
Easton Axis, Rampage,
FMJs,
you name it. Across the board, we got the top five or six in stock. Yeah. We also have your budget arrow where somebody walks in or a kid or whatever else that, you know, they're going to spend $39 for a half a dozen. That's about where it's going to be at Shields, here, wherever else. We just know that there's that Easton arrow right there. It's a 6,000 straightness. It's going to be $39. Guess what? I could probably take a dozen of those and go kill anything that I want to kill with those, with that arrow.
I mean, 6,000 straightness is pretty straight.
I might not be reusing them a bunch because they're a little more brittle, you know?
Right.
Maybe whatever. Maybe mentally, it's only $40 for, you know, whatever.
Go get some more.
I'll just fling some arrows. Yeah. It's like golf. If I lose that ball, I don't care, you know, kind of thing. So, you know, there may be some of that, but it really good equipment can make you better. But in reality, the better you can make yourself, the equipment shouldn't matter.
Absolutely.
You know, an experienced hunter like you guys are, or that you can walk into our shop and a big percentage of our customers could literally go out and be successful on a hunt, anything in the shop. It shouldn't be a once and done.
No.
If you hit an animal, usually it is because they're moving, shoulders move, whatever else, bone moves. Generally, they're a once and done.
Elk like to break arrows. Yeah.
Deer, stuff you can blow through is a different story. But
depending on what you hit on the other side.
And components matter. You know, there's certain arrows that I love, absolutely love the carbon, but I hate their components, you know. So it's mixing and matching. And that's kind of the fun behind it, too. And that's where Christian and Chandler at the shop are really, really good. Is they have the knowledge and experience to know, hey, you know what? If you like this arrow, let's put these components over here with that arrow, and you're going to have a badass setup. You know, this is going to be a bulletproof way to build that arrow.
Customer service story. When I went in, bought a dozen of those Easton Axis I like, and we were going back and forth about the spine on them.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing. He grabbed my bow, and then start shooting it through. He's like, no, you're fine, man. It'll tune. You're good to go.
Yep. Some bows, just because the chart says, okay, you're 70 pounds and you're a 29-inch draw, you got to shoot this spine. Some bows don't play nice.
No.
You know, Prime had a couple of bows where they really liked a stiff spine. So instead of taking a 340 spine, I might take a 300 spine.
Right.
You know? And so it's really customizing that to a customer's abilities or equipment setup to make sure that going out the door, that bow is doing everything that it needs to do. The arrow is doing everything it needs to do. Everything is set up perfectly. If we could just eliminate everybody's left hand, you know, or their grip hand,
take that out of
the picture, you know, then it'd be a home run.
They need to come up with like a packable hooter shooter.
No, like my Verdict, it really loves stiffer shafts. Mm-hmm. So I shoot a 340 out of it. Anything within the range that it says, those arrows just are sloppy.
I think we have every arrow fletched and cut at various lengths laying on the table back there that we can test.
You guys have your own shooting, 20-yard shooting range.
Yep. Where it's a working range.
Exactly. A lot of these other shops do not.
So for people listening, I mean, try going into a big box store, having the Bowtech working there, grab one of the arrows you're looking at, and send it through your bow. to make sure that you're going out the door with the best arrow possible, that level of customer service is pretty phenomenal.
I got to give Chandler and Christian credit for that. You know, they truly eat, sleep, and breathe archery and shooting. And you know, Dave and you both, you like to talk and bring up target archery and that. That's not my space. Like, I've never had a target bow. I've never once set one up for myself or any of that. They are who you need to speak to on the target side of things, and they know it really well. And guess what? Those kids can flat shoot.
Can shoot. There's no doubt. So. Both of those guys, and well, even Moody and Craig.
Yeah, Mike and Craig can shoot. You guys can shoot. Well, I don't know about Henry, but.
No, I
Dave
can't.
Can shoot.
I can't.
No, I love shooting with those guys because it's.
I'm probably more with you, Henry.
It's exciting because it's just like it's constantly. The whole group is just constant neck and neck.
Yep.
It's
although I will say the Wednesday before. Uh-huh. Wednesday, I beat him. I beat everybody.
Oh, you went up
Did
to,
you really?
I have my group. Yep. I was the best in my group. Best in my group. That's my bragging.
I have my moments. I think Winnemucca, I outshot Chandler.
Oh, yeah.
And then the very next tournament,
Yeah, you were lights out, though, in Winnemucca, the indoor.
But here's my thing.
Happened. I don't know if somebody was out shooting for you. Man, you were just
I think I was.
Rushing.
Yeah, somebody. I had a ringer. No, I was going to say, the big thing I've noticed, Tim, and you can probably identify with this, is you guys, Dave, and those cats that shoot around the clock, like nonstop.
Year-round.
Year-round. They have that, almost like a professional golfer, that repeatable thing. Whereas me, more of a hunter, you know, I've shot deer walking. Because the thing wouldn't stop, so I'm like walking. I mean, forget about foot position and shooting stance. And my mind just goes blank.
Yeah.
It's like if there's a deer in front of me or whatever I'm flinging an arrow at, I know kind of where my pin was, but I generally just black out and send an arrow. And knock on wood, I've been successful doing that thus far. But these guys, it's a whole nother level of attention to every little detail.
It's a really weird thing to think about because the target bows weigh almost twice as much as my hunting bow.
Oh yeah.
You know, by the time you're talking all the stabs,
the back
and
stabs, the front stabs.
And I'm a strong guy, especially upper shoulders and everything else. I can't hold up Chandler's bow and shoot his bow with any consistency whatsoever because the damn thing's so heavy.
Floating around,
you know?
Yeah.
But I'll sit there in the range and watch you guys shoot on league night or watch these kids and they've got this 12, 15 pound setup out there just as dead as dead. So it's not about strength. It's just that conditioning
right.
to where maybe it's like, you know, kind of like Dave and I have is the old man strength. Well, they've got the archer strength where it's just same position every time and they can hold it.
Oh,
you know, watching these guys hold on target. Yeah. If you took a high speed camera and filmed, you know, a target shooter holding a bow, things floating a little bit, but you have me and that thing's got Tourette's, you know,
it's bouncing around. Yeah.
The reason a lot of us shoot year round is for the hunt so that we're ready and, you know, we're comfortable, you know, so that we're comfortable shooting at, you know, 60, 70, 80 yards. If it's like you need to take a second shot or it's, oh my God, that isn't that's a monster and I'm not getting any closer. And so I'm doing it.
Going you should forward. Just black out and rip off an arrow. It's worked for
he
me.
Yeah, well, that could happen. I may have.
You know, that's people, you know, sights, you know, what pin configuration, this or that.
Do you want a slider? Do you want it to be stationary?
What do you guys carry for sights?
Everything except for Excel because we can never get them.
Right. Okay.
Super well, I know popular. Excel right now, they're back ordered like 12 weeks.
Yeah, we screwed up. We placed a really big purchase order with them when we first opened, and then we caught word that they're not filling the big purchase orders. They're just filling the small ones, you know, because they can. They're an outstanding company. They make a top-of-the-line product. They're just, they want to be the size that they are, and that's it, you know?
Right.
Spot Hog's kind of the same way.
Yeah.
They didn't add personnel or employees when demand was super high. They just kept cranking, kept working.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of brands, you know, would, oh, let's hire some more people. Let's do this and that. But the advantage to that is they can keep QC, quality control, under control.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, Redline's another small company.
That's right.
Products are just fantastic.
Right.
Well,
we just built. Got that account with the PSE account. I don't know if they're owned by the same company or
they
whatever.
They might be Heritage
It's the same rep group. And so we've got the Redline account. I don't know if Chandler's brought those in yet or not.
Yeah, those are,
I leave
those
everything
are
up to Chandler.
Awesome.
I mean, he's got a budget. He's got a weekly number that he knows he can't go over by very much.
Yeah. So now we know you're an archery shop. I mean, that's like the bigger thing. But when you walk in that store, when you walk into Hunting House mm-hmm. off of Longley there, there's a lot more than just archery. I mean, you walk in, there's supplements, there's backpacks. A person can walk into your store and walk out completely outfitted for a hunt minus probably your camping gear.
Yeah, I mean, it's Hunting House, you know, and it's always evolving too. So when we started, two things that we looked at that we didn't want to compete with other local businesses. We didn't want to have a range because we didn't want to take business away from other local ranges. And two, we didn't want to have camping gear and all that kind of thing. One, because we got Shields and, you know, Cabela's and Sportsman, but I didn't want to compete with Mark IV Strike, with Dave and the,
right,
you know,
the
them.
Right,
another local company, local people, you know.
Good people.
Really good. I didn't want to compete with them. So we said, all right, we're going to be in this vein and this vein and this vein. And so boots was in there, you know, some hunting apparel and packs and foods and that kind of thing was in there. Plus, I had some relationships that I had with some sponsors and different companies. So we've tried to have everything that a guy really needs, aside from coolers, I guess. We don't have coolers, but
gotta get some, that's first.
A tough one, right? You know. Yeah. So that's the goal, is to have be a one-stop shop, but not step on the toes. No, I guess now of Dave, you know, of Mark IV, we don't want to step on their toes. You know, now maybe we'll have a range. Maybe we won't. You know, who knows?
Yeah. That's kind of my next time question.
Time will tell.
Now that there's not a range.
Time will prove.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Who knows?
So
we want to be a Hunting House. I mean, it was when I started, I mean, I'm a branding guy. I communicate a lot with branding guys from other brands that I've worked with over the years. And it's like, do we brand the shop Solo Hunter Archery Shop? Or do we do something differently? And from a liability standpoint and a different, you know, company corporate structure standpoint, it just made sense to keep Hunting House its own
entity.
That's
a great name.
Yeah,
it's catchy.
I had Hunting House before I had Solo Hunter. You know, it was the very first name that I came up with. That's why my Gmail, I had a Hotmail that was Hunting House at Hotmail, you know.
Oh.
Hunting House was my first name. And then Country Warren Productions was my production company that I expanded. Solo Hunter came along, you know, down the road. I'm going to strip down bows. We'll do whatever we can to get you set up and out on your hunt.
Awesome. Yeah. Hey, Tim, cannot thank you enough for coming by.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing this, man.
Yep. Anytime.
See you at the shop.
Thanks to our show sponsors, Legacy Sports International, Truck Envy, and Out West Buildings. Don't go anywhere through the break. Tom Gresham's Gun Talk is coming up at 11 only on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.